Thank you, Pastor Greg. We'd like to again remind you that during this marvelous month, we are, and the month that follows, we are studying the fundamentals of our faith. And the first study, they call doctrine in a book of theology, the first study was the Bible. And we do have the CDs, and we do have the outlines for you. If you need to hear it again, you can go to the internet. You can pull it out, the MP3, those who knows a computer, and listen. This is the fundamental ground of Christianity, the Bible. Without talking in the Bible, we are talking at different things. So we all need to talk together. And in order to talk together, we need to agree that the Bible is the Word of God. Then last Sunday, we talked about the personal God. It is easy to make a study about God, His attributes, His greatness, and His power, but will be empty if you don't make that God personal, like Thomas did. He said, "My God." Remember when he saw Him, "My Savior and my God." Now, today, I want to bring to your attention another of my favors, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, we're going to study across the Bible about the Lord Jesus Christ. There is an outline in the bulletin for you. Between parentheses in the outline is the page number of the Bible. If you are not familiar with the Bible, I want you to see it, not just believe what I said. And so I want to tell you what page it is, and by you looking over there, you can flip your Bible back and forth, and then you know what it is. One of the signs of the demonstration of this church is that we use the Bible in everything we say and do. And so therefore, we want to be consistent with our style. All right, are you ready? The Lord is Jesus Christ. The first thing I want you to see, which is really marvelous, is the Old Testament Christ. How Christ is called in theology the pre-incarnation state of the Lord Jesus. Now, I mention all of this. You go to a book of theology, that's what the book will read. You go in the index, and you say the pre-incarnation state of the Lord Jesus. But I want you just simply, in you and me terms, the Old Testament Christ. The Bible pictured Christ in the book of Exodus, chapter 3 and verse 2, page 66 in your Bible. In the book of Exodus, chapter 3 and verse 2, page 66. This is the moment in which Moses is called back to service to lead the people of God out of Egypt. And then look who he has to face. The Bible says, let me read verse 1 and 2 so you get a context of this. Again, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Look at what happened. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. Not just an angel, but the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, said the Bible, in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, the New Testament makes a hint of what the angel of the Lord is if you compare that scripture with the book of Galatians in the New Testament in chapter 4 and verse 14, page 1269, page 1269. In chapter 4 of Galatians in verse 14, the apostle is testifying, is talking to the congregations of Galatia. Galatia is a county, is not a city. It's like Santa Clara County. Morton Hill is a city, but Santa Clara County is the county. So Galatia is a county of many locations in southern Greece. And look at what he says to the people. And in their saying, he revealed that the angel of the Lord is Christ. And my temptation which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God. And then say, even as Christ Jesus. The word even was added. And so is you receive me as an angel of God, Christ Jesus, said the original. And now that's very fundamental. And so the Bible associates the word angel of the Lord with the word the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnation of Christ. Now the easiest way to demonstrate Christ in the Old Testament is the scripture that I'm going to show you now. It's in the book of Exodus again, back to the beginning of your Bible, and page 67, and is in chapter 3 of the book of Exodus again, and in verse 14. The apostle understand now that Moses understand that he is in command and that he need to go back to Israel, back to Egypt, and talk to the people of Israel and said to them, I am the leader that will lead you out of the land. Now, he asked for a little business card to God. So will you, God, make a business card? So you said, Moses, the leader, and put your name on it. Now look at what God said, chapter 3, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. That's only one word in Hebrew, Yahweh. I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. I'm here to leave you, and my boss is I am, Yahweh. Now look at in verse 15. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God, you see the Lord in capital letters? From then on, the translators of the King James Bible have put the word Yahweh in capital letters. And so that we know is Yahweh. If I was a Jew, I will stand and hold my hat as I mentioned the word Yahweh, because he's holy and I'm unholy. That's what the King James do it. The synagogue here, they use the King James to understand the Bible. And it's very handy because the word Lord is Yahweh. So your fathers and God of Abraham and so on. And so in the Old Testament, God also appeared under the word Yahweh, which means I am. In the Hebrew language, amazing enough, there is no present tense. It's the easiest language to study. It's no present. And so how do you understand language? You know, you don't have to study grammar. You have to study concepts in order to speak language. Well, the Hebrew language works in this way. The action is past, so it's past. The action is in the future, so it's future. No action can be present because at the moment you are present, it's past. So only God can be present all the time. God can be present in the past. God can be present in the future. We can't. And so it is amazing. Now, who used that word Yahweh and almost lost his life at that moment? You have to move your Bible to the Gospel of John in chapter 8, verse 58 and 59, page 1161, page 1161. Here is the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and you will see here in the Gospel of John in chapter 8, verse 58 and 59, you will see who used the word. And I want you to reason carefully with this. Verse 58, Jesus talking to the Pharisees. And look at what he says. He says unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, what did he say? I am, Yahweh. Now, if somebody come to you and said, before my father was, I am, you say this guy is crazy. But not to a Jew person, because he say Yahweh, I'm Yahweh. Now look at verse 59, what happened? He said, then took they up stones and to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst. In other words, they were right. Jesus was saying, I am God, and for a Jewish person, God is God, and to say, Jesus, I am God, that was a blasphemy, which the penalty in the book of Leviticus is death by stoning. And so that proves that in the Old Testament, the appearance of Jesus, and I can go over and over for 3 or 4 hours in the Old Testament in the book of Ezekiel with the appearance of Jesus and his terminology. But these are the easy ones to remember. In the Old Testament, God said, I'm Yahweh. And all over the Old Testament, you see the word Lord in the King James Bible in capital letters. You see that God wants the people to know that his name is Yahweh. When I meet somebody and said, oh, I believe in God, I always ask, who is the name of your God? God. Well, who is the name of the God? God has a name on it. And the Arabian people will say Allah. All right? And I don't know what the Buddha said or the Hindu said. I forgot now. But our God is Yahweh, the God of heaven represented by the Lord Jesus. So that's the Old Testament Christ. Then there is prophecy about Christ. And again, we're going to spend hours and hours in prophecy, but I selected three slots in the Bible that will help you. First, Christ to be a human being. And the first prophecy of Christ is right on the first book of the Bible, on the first pages of the Bible, in chapter 3 and in verse 15. God dealing with Satan. And God is telling Satan that the victory of God over Satan is going to be through a holy man who is going to be born of a woman. All right? Because a woman sinned, and God is going to revenge Satan by the holiness of a woman who is going to give us a perfect man. Look at in chapter 3, verse 15. He says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. All are singular. No seeds. Singular words. All right? It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That was the crucifixion. That expression over there deal with the crucifixion. Now, the book of Galatians in the Bible explained this in Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 4, explain this text very clearly, what this text really means. So we turn to the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. And talking about the Lord Jesus, the Bible is very careful in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, page 1269. Here's what the Bible says, chapter 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son. I like the King James. Although the genome, the word genome, becoming of a woman, not made of a woman. God made you, and God made me, and God made man out of a woman. That is not the only way. You cannot come out of an egg. You came out of a woman, all right? You cannot come out of a monkey. You came out of a woman, said the Bible. And so here is the beauty, is that the Lord Jesus came out of the woman. And then fulfillment of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. An angel could come and reveal himself as Jesus. But God needed a human being, sinless, in order to forgive your sin. And God did it through a woman. Notice that Jesus was not born through a man, was born through a woman. Now, second prophecy I want to call your attention is that Christ to become incarnate God. Some people have problems with this. The Jewish people have real problem with this. They hate the idea that Jesus is God. If you go to Isaiah 9, 6, page 678, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, look at what the Bible says. Some people say, well, the Bible never said that Jesus is God. Prophesying about the Messiah in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, page 768, the Bible says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. What's the next word? Mighty God. And people say, the Bible never say Jesus is God. Well, those words are fulfilled in the words of the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 8, page 1303. Book of Hebrews, chapter 1 and in verse 8. The Bible tells us that Jesus is God, and it tells us in a matter that God himself said. In Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 8, the Bible says, but unto the Son, capital S, talking about Jesus, he said, he is God, thy throne, what's the next word? O God. And so in prophecy, Jesus is to be born of a human being. In prophecy, Jesus is to be God. And the Bible testify in the New Testament that that apply to what we call the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one more prophecy, which is so clear by the great mind of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. Now, everything starts in Genesis. If you take Genesis out of the Bible, you take the gospel out of the Bible. I'll tell you that. That's why science is so against Genesis, because Genesis contains everything you need to know about God, about yourself, about the world in which we live, about the formation of God. It is the only component in the Bible that holds everything in just one book. And so we go to Genesis chapter 12 now and see the promise that God made to Abraham. First book of the Bible. And remember what we learn about Bible. The big numbers in the Bibles are the chapters. And so Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to look in Genesis 12 and in verse 7. Look at what the Bible says over there. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto thy seed. Now, again, singular. Because some people say, oh, that's the Jewish people. No, one seed, one particular seed, singular. Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. Each time in the Eastern world, each time an event happened, then a tower needed to be built. That's why the Arabs want to build that mosque close to in New York, because by God, they need to have a sign of victory. And that's what the Jew, they learn from the Jew. All right? Now, here is what God said to Abraham, your seed, one seed, that will be the blessing to the entire world. This verse is very well explained in the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16 in your Bible, page 1268. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16 explain this promise of God to Abraham, and the page number again is 1268. This is what the Apostle Paul explained. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. What a remarkable locking of the scriptures in the understanding. That's why it's good that you read the Old Testament, and it's not past. The Old Testament is not something old. It's something as fresh as the New Testament. When you compare the New Testament with the Old Testament, and you see what God was doing there and how God fulfilled it here in the New Testament. So now, the prophetical Christ. Christ is thought as a human being. Christ is incarnate God and nothing less. You do not negotiate that. The Jehovah's Witness have a problem with this. We met the Jehovah's Witness in McDonald's at 7:30 until I asked them to leave, because it's confusing. They have no God. Jesus is no God. And so they have a Bible who is fixed. And their translation, and so in their Bible, did not comes around. That's what I said. The King James Bible said this. Now, Christ is a descendant of Abraham, and nobody can deny that. The Jewish people cannot deny it. What they deny is that Christ is God, and that the Christ is the seed of Abraham. But because they have no New Testament in the Bible. You get a Jewish Bible, you get a King James, just as you have it here, but no New Testament. So we have Bible, you have half-truth. So be very careful. All right, now we're going to prove the deity of Christ. Okay, if Christ is God, prove it, okay? We're going to do it, all right? The deity of Christ. Now, Christ claim himself the deity. In Matthew 28 and in verse 19, Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19, when Jesus gave the disciples the command to go, and that's on page 1077, 1077. Look at what the Bible said. Go ye therefore, Jesus is speaking, and teach or disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So Jesus made three persons equal. He makes the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit one. That's why Jehovah's Witness will not baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will baptize you in the name of the Father, but not in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They understand correctly. If you do that, you equal Jesus to God. He claimed to be God. Was his words and was his command. Now, the easy way to prove the deity of Jesus is to see if Jesus has the same attributes that God has. Now, what's an attribute? An attribute is what you can do. All right? Let's see. Now, in John chapter 1, God is eternal, so Jesus is eternal. John chapter 1 and verse 1. That's in page 1148. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, with capital letter. The word is logos. In some Bibles other than English, a word means nothing, but a verb means something. And so in some Bibles, like German and Spanish, the word will be, in the beginning was the verb, a life word. A verb is a life word. I said, I run. Word is life. I'm moving. And so that's what it is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The only way you can be confused is if you change that. And if you get a Jehovah's Witness Bible, they change that so that they can justify that when the Bible said the Word was God, they said the Word God. No, it was God. And so, in other words, Jesus is eternal. In the beginning was God, and the beginning was Jesus. It's equal with God in eternity. Now, what about in holiness? If you go to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 24, page 1078, chapter 1 and verse 24, here is what you read about these holiness. God is holy, so is Jesus holy? Look at what the Bible says. Saying, let us alone, these are demon speakings, what have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, thou art, the demon said this, thou art the Holy One of God. You got it? Jehovah's Witness maybe do not know this, but the demons knew. Say, what are you going to do with this? Don't cast us out because you are the Holy One of God. Holiness like God. Now, love. If you go to the Gospel of John in chapter 15, now, verse 9, page 1171, John Gospel, chapter 15. And look with me in verse 9. As the Father have loved me, so have I loved you. Continue my love. As the Father, in the equal manner, in the equal intensity, in the equal capacity of the Father's love, I love you. So there is no difference between the Father's love and the Son's love. As the Father loves you, I love you. In the same capacity, in the same intensity, with the same power. So he has the attribute of love. Now, Jesus, this is my favorite text for science. When I taught physics, this was my favorite text. In John Gospel chapter 2, verse 24 and 25, page 1150. John Gospel chapter 2. It's just at the end of the chapter, in chapter 2. And Jesus knows everything. So nice. He knows everything. I don't know anything, but Jesus knows everything. And let me get the panorama. John Gospel chapter 2 and verse 23. Let me start a little behind. 23. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Jesus did miracles, and people say, oh, yeah, I believe. And you and I will think, oh, that's a believer. Like many people raise their hands and say, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all think, well, that's a believer. Now, look at Jesus. Look at verse 24. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Now, verse 25 is revealing. And need not that any shall testify of man, for he knew what is a man. He did not commit with those people because he really knew that those people inside their heart, inside their mind, they do not believe. Oh, they show, yes, we believe, praise the Lord. And you hear a lot of people saying great things about God, but are they believers or not? You and I cannot know, but God knows. And Jesus knows. And he knows you. We taught prayer today in a Spanish class. And I told the people, I said, be sure, Paul tell us, be sure when you pray, that you really pray straight because God is your witness. You can fool people listening to your prayers, but you cannot fool God listening to your prayer. He knows you, all right? He is omnipresent. Have you ever seen that in Matthew 18:20, page 1060? Page 1060, Matthew 18 and verse 20. He's omnipresent. Presence. Look at here, Matthew 18 and verse 20. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Jesus is here in our congregation in my name. Jesus is a congregation in New York. Jesus is a congregation in Greece. Jesus is a congregation in Argentina, in Japan, in Korea. As long as we gather together in the name of Jesus and we open the scripture in the name of Jesus and we talk about Jesus and exalt his person, he's there. He's here, here, here. Now, I cannot explain how, but I know God said it. Now, there is one thing that I love. Remembering Brother Kasanjan 28 years ago and his dining room, what a beautiful dinner that Mary put us, and his mother was there too. She introduced me to the family, my wife and I. After Brother Kasanjan hear my testimony and hear what I believe in the Bible, he asked me a question. He said, Dr. Otero, when a large church calls you to be a pastor, will you leave us or will you commit your life to us? What a question. Well, he was an accountant, you know, they go for details. And I said, you got me. You know what he said? He said, you got me. And we shake our hands. No one day of 28 years, Brother Kasanjan left me alone. He knew when I was in sadness, and he will call me for anchovies, which revives my spirit, anchovies, and we talked to him. And the Spirit of God was in his heart. You know when people have the Spirit of God flowing. The Spirit of God, the peace of God, all the deacons can testify. We can go through hard decisions, and the peace of God was completely dominating the meeting. Absolutely. Now, because he never changed, and I never changed because of that commitment. Now, look about God. This is peanuts compared to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, page 1314. Hebrews chapter 13 and on verse 8. Look at what God said. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, that's what God is. See, if God saves you, he's never going to drop you. That's your safety. That's your safety. When people say, I can lose my salvation, I say, well, depends who saves you. If God saves you, he never drops you. But be sure you're saved. That's the question. And so, see, the deity of Christ can be proved by what Jesus said and by looking into the attributes of the Lord Jesus and seeing that those attributes match the attributes of God. Now, one more, please, or two more. The humanity of Jesus. What do people call Jesus? Well, in John 1, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, verse 30, page 1148, in Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 30, look at what people call Jesus. This is he of whom I said, after me comes what? A man. A man. Now, God can use two words for a man, aner or anthropos. He do not use anthropos, which means mankind. He comes a man, a male. Jesus was called a man. And not only that, if you go to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 6, page 1085, in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 6, and in verse 2 and in verse 3, also the multitude that saw Jesus, he was not a ghost, he was a man. And when the Sabbath day, I'm reading Marcus 6:2, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are brought by his hand? Verse 3, is not this, now they're going to give the background, the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James? See, the scripture don't say the son of his father, Joseph, don't we? Is not him the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas? And some people said, well, Mary never had children. Well, where these children came from, all right? The brother of James, and Joseph, and Judah, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were all offended at him. In other words, Jesus is a human being. We do not believe in a ghost. We believe in that beautiful revelation of God of taking Genesis 3:15 into action and bringing into the world the perfect man so that the perfect man can save you. Now, I could fill many months in service teaching about the name of Christ, but I want to talk to you about the name of Christ. Now, Jesus' name is the highest of all. Go with me to Philippians 2, 9 to 11, page 1279. Philippians 2, 9 to 11, page 1279. Jesus' name is the highest of all. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It is the highest. There is no other name that you can give me. There is no other prophet in this world that can be offered for salvation or for answer to prayer than the name of Jesus. It is the highest. Now, peoples can find forgiveness in his name. If you go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, page 1147, Luke Gospel, chapter 24, verse 46 and 47, you find that you and I can find forgiveness in his name. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to raise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Remission of sins. You know what remission is? Away from your sins in his name. Now, Christianity has done a very poor job in this in the years 1100 to the year 1500. They have said that the church forgive you. You have to become a member of this Christian church to forgive you. And doesn't say that, the scripture, don't we? They should say that Jesus forgive you. The church should preach Jesus and his compassion and his love and his power, and the Spirit of God will lead you to anybody, no any other except Jesus. If the Spirit of God leads you, they lead you to Jesus and Jesus alone. Some people say that is too narrow. It is. It is. And when the Spirit of God talks to you, you understand it and smile. Then one thing that needs to be said is that legally, those who have come to believe in his name are legally justified before the Father. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, they talk about homosexuality and all of these problems that America, because it's without God, is facing. But I want to talk to you in the best way possible about what God said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 11. Let me go in a little back to 1 Corinthians 6, verse 6, and this is in page 1243. I'm going to start reading in verse 6, and some of you will find your name there. Careful, some of you will find your name there. Look at what they said. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve him. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more. Death had no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord Jesus Christ have made possible that you are clean before God because of what he has done. Legally, there is no charge that can bring to you. There is no charge that they can put you into this situation. And there is no other place that can be done. And I misread some scripture. I'm going to read now in 1 Corinthians 6. I misread the passage. Verse 8. Nay, ye do wrong and defraud and that your brethren, knowing ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, unrighteous means unjustified. You're legally guilty. All right? I'm reading verse 9. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, if your life is a mess, you do not inherit the kingdom of God. If you continually in that, you do not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11 is the one that I look. And such were some of you. Wow. You maybe say, well, hold it, pastor. Yeah. So let's not be hard on these homosexuals and those people. Let's have the compassion of God, because it could be you. Could be you. Let's not have the pride to say, oh, I don't have that sin. You maybe have 20 more sins than that one. God did not put that sin above every other sin. No. Look at what he said in verse 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are what? Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. We are justified by the name of the Holy Spirit. So the compassion is to bring people to reality. You cannot water down the word. You cannot say, well, you have to say to people, what is your problem? Let me show you what the scriptures say about it. And then show Jesus how they will reject it. Openly, some, because it's too easy. You mean Jesus, believing in Jesus, that's all. They don't understand. Remember what Jesus said? They saw some miracles. Now people believe, but they were not believing. They just believed that they want the miracles. I want to close with a challenge to you. By the wisdom of one man, Pilate, in John 18 and verse 39 and 40, in the scripture, John Gospel chapter 18, verse 39 and verse 40. Just the challenge of John. I want really to think carefully. Jesus is at the end of life in this earth. Pilate is going to judge him. And look at verse 39. He said, but ye have a custom that I should release unto you, he's talking to the Jewish people, one at the Passover. Will ye be therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Will you people like Jesus, he said. What a challenge. And what an opportunity of God. At the last minute opportunity, 11 hour. The last minute opportunity for Israel. Will you like to have Jesus? What did Israel said? Look at the next verse. Then cried they all again, saying, know this man, but Barnabas. Now, Barnabas was a robber, was a thief. And so, make your choice. Do you want Jesus of your own business? Do you want Jesus or Buddha or Muhammad? Or do you want Jesus or politics? Or do you want Jesus of your career? Who do you want? The only one that can justify you and bring you to heaven is Jesus. But you make your choice. Israel, as a nation, made their choice. And they make a hard choice. If you go to John chapter 1 and verse 11, God really clear up the hard choice they have made. John 1 and verse 11 said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto the Jewish people. The Messiah came unto the Jewish people, and they say, away with him. Will you say that today, 2,000 years later? People say, oh, what a terrible Israel. No, hold it. You are the same. If you today, you say, well, I care less about Jesus, you are just like Israel. Today, you saw Jesus in glory and splendor. You saw Jesus in a very mathematical way, how he was there in the Old Testament, how he was prophesied, how he came to reality, how he is equal with God, and what he can do. What will you do with Jesus? Will you take it and say, forgive me, I need mercy? Or you say, now, pastor, get out of here. You said what I said when I was young. I'm young. I do not need Jesus. What a mistake. God overruled that mistake when I was 18 and a half. I play soccer. I dedicate myself to my sport. But God overruled. May God overrule your life if you are without Christ and you find yourself in the hands of Christ. Thank you, Father, for this remarkable exhibition of Jesus in the Bible. Without the Spirit of God, we cannot understand it. Thank you because many of us here in the auditorium and there in the radio and there in the internet ministry and the voice of the airways, many people have believed in him and now they are justified. But Father, how blessed we are. How blessed we are. Now there are many thousands and millions who believe not. I pray that the Spirit of God and mercy will convict many to believe that Jesus is he, the one who can save our life, the one who died for us and rose again. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
The Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away. Which mar the chosen. my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart: his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart: his wounds have paid my ransom.
Spirit is God, and we know it. I pray for those who do not know who Jesus is, that they may embrace him, that they may humble themselves by the Spirit of God power and come into his arms. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for showing us in your word the glory, the majesty, and the power of our Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.